Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Myopathy. I've done so many of these like a government mule. I've seen them so much I don't even count how many times I've been. It's over 20, so welcome back. I sometimes forget to do this, but I'm going to do it again because it's been a while. That is Time Is On Your Side by Mind Divine. Back in the day, they actually had where you could get spend like $1 or $2, or even they had free songs, and they could all be used for like your blog talk radio. And it was the first one I clicked on, and that's Lord will do to you. You know, it's one I've loved, and I just use it all the time. And go out, and if you can find their stuff on iTunes or whatever, buy the album. It's awesome. Support them. Kind of like in a daze right now. I'm just still in shock that it's not really a sports show, but when Detroit loses to the Red Sox, I mean, granted, right, the Red Sox were a better team. When my Tigers lose, it's hard. You know, just not really a sports show, but just something that brought a tear to my dangler. But today, I want to give a shout out to my sissy Lisa in Michigan, Kalamazoo. She was going to try to be on the show today, but because of having teeth issues and having to get like dental work done and possibly surgery, oral surgery to fix stuff that happened, she wasn't going to be on the show. And I mean, she's one of those people that I take a bowl for. I mean, she's someone that means the world to me. And sometimes like me, I kind of feel like, okay, when's something right going to happen? Where's the positive? In January 3rd, I got to make sure I ask her that off because she's having foot surgery and I need to be up there because she's not going to do anything. She's going to be like, they have like really, really nice lazy boy, and that's what she'll really stay in and sleep in. And we'll pick her up to go to the bathroom or pick her up to put her in the shower seat to get a shower. She won't be able to walk or do hardly anything. So just keep Lisa tuning in your prayers, and I anyone out there listening. And also, a shout out to Laura in Australia. I'm one of my friends on my support group who just had a birthday. Happy birthday, dear. Love you so much if you ever listen to this show. Because I do sometimes post this in the support group that you guys listen to. Happy birthday. Hope it was great. Today, I want to talk just a little bit about my life and more about what's going on. I want to give a shout out to anyone that, because I do the free blog talk. I'm not a premium member. I don't get paid or anything or do anything. This is out of my heart. And check out Treating Yourself magazine. It's an alternative journal magazine. If you ever heard of New England Journal of Medicine, it's sort of like that, but it's for like my type of medicine, where it has the latest natural medicines, mainly on cannabis, which you'd know as marijuana, but mainly on cannabis, but they'll have other things on other types of stuff you can do, like vaporizers and creams and, different ways of using it. And sometimes I'll have, like, cooking with it, like making cheeses and stuff, using seeds. And the only disclaimer I have against this is a lot of these are full of, like, seed companies that, well, in Indiana, well, technically in the U.S., you really can't order the seeds. They may send them to you, even though it's illegal, they may just say, you're the one that's going to get in trouble, not them. So, or they have a lot of photos. And it's like, okay, I want to have information. Photos are neat, but I'm in this to read, to find out the newest scientific stuff. What's the newest breakthrough? I have a thing on my Facebook I post from time to time where it has a joint and it has a cigarette, and it says, next to the cigarette, it says, this is legal and it's killed millions of people. And then it has next to the joint, this is illegal, let's never kill anybody. And one of the big things now is vaporizers, where like an e-cigarette, where the medicine is burned to an extent that it heats it up and it makes it into like a gas, but it doesn't have any carcinogens or anything, because some people claim that you may have an issue with smoking, even though in Amsterdam, for example, they don't have any issues with smoking and cannabis, and actually people that mix it with tobacco actually have their lung disease issue with tobacco is significantly reduced. And I just try to find the latest information, because, I mean, like this healthcare law, it really affects me because I have a disease. I have a muscle issue, and it's, you know, it really affects, and I really try to look at it as from an objective point of view. Okay, what is the truth here? What's really the law? What's going to really happen? You know? And I get up every day and I just try to keep going and just do. And I've been really, 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 really good. My life, you know, like my doctor said, there's nothing you can't do. It's just know that some days you're not going to want to get out of bed. And I don't, you know, I want to keep going. And, you know, I have my dad in me. And if you don't know my dad's one of those people that, you know, he's a drill sergeant type person. He's up at 4 a.m. working till midnight. Been doing it since he was born. And he's 65 and he still tries to do it. And he just doesn't understand why I can't do it. You know, he's one of those people that will sit there and he'll drive to 10 restaurants until he finds one without a wait. Because he still got that military mentality of, you know, something could happen to interrupt our dinner. We need to eat. He needs so fast, because what if, you know, something were to happen and he wouldn't have time to finish his meal, you know? You got to eat when you get a second. You need to drink when you can. If you get time, you need to change your stock. That would be a dream, you know? So, and my good friend Tammy, I went with her to see the Eagles on Friday, and her hubby has post-traumatic stress disorder, and he's served, and I understand him so much, and I can talk to him, and I can relate to him, because my dad's one of those people that's very military, very, you know, do it right or don't do it at all, and there is no don't do it at all, do it right. So, and I wear Z-Coil footwear. And if you don't know what that is, it's for foot, leg, and back pain. And I just wish the people were closer, because they're in Avon, Indiana, and they changed my life. They're one that you can go check out. Look up Z-Coil on YouTube, Z-Coil. Look them up, and there's videos on them, and they'll change your life. They changed mine, and I don't know if I've ever really talked about them on any of my shows, but today I'm going to talk a little bit about them for like about 5 minutes now. I'm kind of go through what they are. They're a shoe that the base of the shoe is basically an orthotic that they can shape to fit your foot. And the back of the heel is a spring. And what the spring does is it gives you cushioning. It gives you 40% return, and it takes about 50 to 60% of the impact away. And the spring can be turned, because there's different sides of the spring. Each side of the spring has different weight ratios. So, like, if you overpronate or oversupinate, which means you either walk to the insides of the foot or the outsides of the foot, they can move the spring around so the heaviest part is on the inside, so that when you walk towards the inside, the weight of the spring is going to even out your gait. I know a lot of people who have one leg technically longer than the other, and it corrects length issues of two different lengths of foot of your legs. And they're just incredible, and they came to my work, and they help immensely, and I was laughing at them and smacked, way smacking, I can do so much, and the lady goes, oh, this is one of Oprah's favorite things, and yada, yada. I'm like, oh, great. Well, there goes, I'm getting that stuff. I don't like Oprah. Whatever. And it didn't work. and come to think about it, I did kind of talk about this a little bit, and then on a previous show, and then my dad, I had kind of had issues with him, so I brought him back, and my dad and sister went, and when it was done, I used to have all my medicine working before I got to work. When I was at work, I was ready to go. Now I can, oh crap, it's 12 o'clock, and I'm just now taking my med, my pain med or whatever. So, I mean, someone like me that deals with a chronic disease or illness, you'll try anything for relief. And, you know, I'm one of the few people at the clinic that I go to that in like 4 years, I think, or 3 or 4 years, I have not adjusted my pain meds. And they go, well, we're trying to, you know, the main doctor only wants us to go 3 months out on medications, no further. And she goes, I'm leaving you in 6 months because in 4 years, you haven't had any issues. You passed every test showing you're taking your medication, and you haven't tried to get more, trying to, and I said, well, I'm not trying to. I'm trying to stay in the lowest dose I can. So, what am I going to do with my life? I don't, you know, do I stay where I stay? Do I do what I do? You know, because someday I may have to get off my feet and do something. I don't know. I don't know what I do. You know, like in my high school guidance counselor said, what would you do if money wasn't an option? If you could just do anything you wanted to do. They kind of did a spoof in Office Space. They go, what would you do if you had $1 million and didn't have to work? Well, he just kind of said, if money wasn't an option, what would you do, basically? And it's funny, because like, where I work there with people, I'd be like, see, he eats his own food. And I'm just really picky about my food. And like, that's when I go out to restaurants and the people I know, and they'll hook me up with like a bunch of food. Actually, I'm like, I don't eat that much. If you really, really truly know me, you know, I don't eat that much. But going to see, you know, just here right now, kind of. I just got on my notes. I got Detroit, and it's like, I have a bunch of friends from the East Coast, so they're like, they're Red Sox fans, so they're all like happy as it built. Kind of jumping around a little bit here, but I just, something's got to go right for Detroit. That's all I'm saying. Something positive has to happen for that city. Something has to. And I mean, and that's how I look at my life. I try to be positive about what I, you know, no matter what, I try to be positive and try to say, hey, this is X, Y, and Z, you know. That gives me manure. I turn it into mushrooms. There you go. Even crap, even if God gives you crap, you can still turn it into something positive. Because that is one of the main components of mushroom making, is manure. If you didn't know that, now you know. So, that's just one of those things that I kind of jump around a lot and talk about many different things. Because I've done shows on paranormal, and I jump around all different kinds of things. It's all about paranormal, but you know, like the Philadelphia Experiment, or this or that, and it's one of the things that kind of, since I talk about whatever I'm going to talk about in the show and different things, it's just, yeah, things make it, I'm always fascinated about things, I'm wondering about stuff, and it's what I think about, like, okay, well, when they say, like, well, okay, what we know about your disease, you'd have to have, like, a gene splicing to fix what's going on and this and that. And it's amazing how far science has come. Because, I mean, not that 200, 300 years ago, we were going back and forth via sailboats, giant ships. And now there's planes that can go, you know, at speeds exceeding Mach 6. Well, how do we get that jump? Because, like, I always look at DNA stuff because that's kind of what they've kind of hinted to me. Like, well, the way we'd fix you is, you know, gene splicing, taking out what's wrong with your genes and putting them what's right. And there was a guy recently that they found a while back ago in Neanderthal, like a guy that was frozen ice, and they recovered his DNA, and they found a living relative of him. And I'm like, that is just boggles my mind. Like I said on the last show, it's kind of cheesy, but when you see like a hot air balloon, and you're like, wow, you just think like, you know, when you throw like a pebble in the water and you say, well, look, that pebble sunk to the bottom of the little pool, but look at that ship and how it floats, you know, just boggles the mind, things like that. But to think that, you know, they might be able to take like old mummies, and if they can extract DNA, they could possibly find links to say, hey, guess what? You're an heir to this, whatever. So, it's just kind of neat when I found out what they think would have to happen for me to have a cure, and I see them doing stuff with DNA. That's why I wasn't for the violence in it, but I loved CSI Miami all for the scientific stuff and the DNA and different things. And that was always fascinating to me to see how the DNA stuff worked and how they found people via DNA and, you know, and stuff, because that's what's ultimately, from what I know, is going to help me and cure me. And so it's just, I mean, life right now for me is just like a vortex. I mean, it's going by so fast. I mean, some people, if any of my friends on Facebook hear this, they'll laugh at this. But, I mean, I was almost curious because I found an old 75 year book and it had, you know, Lordy, Lordy, Mr. Fourville's 40, and it was like a system principal with Principal Wenham, and I'm like, I'm almost 40. Where does the time go, you know? And it's just amazing how things have changed, because I never thought in my lifetime would I see any states or any places be like, okay, we're going to take and legalize cannabis. There was actually a police officer that was, because I was listening to the federal hearings, and this guy goes, well, you know what, we're here to serve the people. And if the people vote that they want to have marijuana legal, legalize it. We need to figure out how to regulate it, but we need to legalize it if they want it. It's their country. We're just here, you know. And it's just amazing that, you know, that in my lifetime I might be able to get another medication to try. But the problem is there's so many strains, it's trying to find the right one. And, you know, doing research and, you know, what has the most CBD versus THC and all that. So I talk a lot about cannabis because it's a superior fiber. It's antimicrobial. It's just so many millions of things that it can do. I mean, the millions of things it can do that have nothing to do with smoking it as like a textile or an ethanol, you know. That is something that boggles my mind, because, okay, here you go. You can eat corn. Save the corn for feed. Grow hemp to make ethanol. You can get more for it pound for pound. You can get 10 times more because you get more for it at a pound for pound, plus you can grow 10 times more. And if you do your thing right, you can probably get 2 crops in the summer. You can start like near the end of April, and then around June you might go harvest, and then do it again in August, harvest again. You get 2 sets of people, okay? Well, you harvest this part of the crop, and then when this part is harvested, you can start planting this crop again while they start harvesting that part. I'm just fascinated by the fact that here you go, something kills you like tobacco and it's perfectly legal, but medical cannabis, oh, it's dangerous. Well, how dangerous can it be? Tobacco has killed people. There's a stewardess before the tobacco loss settlement that got like $300 million for a trust fund to set up to do research, because she was on a plane never smoked a day in her life and had one lung left because one was so damaged. And it's just like, how? That just boggles my mind. You know? And that's, because I'm a supporter of God. I believe in God, you know, in some form. I believe there's a God. And when you get people that are like, because if you read the Bible, it talks about how you should come together as a family of God, not like a church. Because I'm so tired of people, well, you drink, well, how can you drink and be and worship God? Well, he turned the water into wine, you know? Because I want to use medical cannabis. I try to break that stereotype because I get like Weed World and I get like Treating Yourself, and I always get these weird looks. And I've actually asked my lawyer and said, is there an issue? I just wondered because if there's anything you want to know about these magazines that I bought, I'd be more than happy to talk to you because I have a muscle disease and this could really help me. I'm just trying to break the barrier, man, because it sounds like you just look at, like, okay, there's another druggie. And it's like, well, whatever, you know? I mean, I don't think Gerben Rosenfeld would be as considered a druggie considering he uses it every day. And that's one of the biggest things with Gerben Rosenfeld is whenever he's in my court, whenever he'll go to the one part of the room where they let him smoke, and he'll smoke, and they can't believe that he doesn't get high. They can get messed up because it worked. Not everyone's going to get high. Not everyone's going to have the same effects. I'm sure you can get cannabis out there that would kind of wise a horse. But at the same time, you know, like the studies have shown, you know, people don't want Everclear. They want beer in terms of medical cannabis. They want to have the minimum that it takes to work, you know. And it's like, and it's funny because they'll sit there and they'll say, like, well, marijuana is not the drug your parents had in the 60s. It's 10 times more potent and da-da-da-da-da and all this stuff. And this guy goes, well, then how come there was a huge federal bust and in Georgia and they found all this weed and they tested it and it was only like 9% THC. And they said, weed in the 60s, they tested and some of it was 8%. And like anyone would say that there's anything about cannabis, they've had all different types of strains from high CBD contents to low CBD contents to high THC. You know, there's been 16% THC back in the 60s. Probably not as prevalent, but they were out there. And this is mainly, I guess, a cannabis show today, talking about all kinds of different stuff, and mainly cannabis, but because it's something close to my heart that it just infuriates me that something that can possibly help a lot of people is being withheld for money. And look up LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Look them up. They say it so true, you know. Like I said on one of my shows about, I think it was last show, why would you give up the $250,000 a year to fight the drug war? Why would you give that money up? Who cares what you use it on? That's money that you give up if you, okay, we're going to make cannabis legal. You know, having a pharmaceutical company say, well, if this guy can use medical cannabis and take this oil and two drops in his tongue, and he doesn't need any of these seven medications, wait a minute here. Wait a minute. Uh-uh. No. We want him to take those seven medications. We want him to take that stuff. So, you know, like I always tell people when I say this, the tobacco industry could profit over people. Why would the pharmaceutical company be any different? They're a consumer. It's a consumer product like anything else. You know, they're just, Eli Lilly is you know, dealing, you know, with Merck and all these other companies. Like one guy said, you know, when they came out with Joe Camel, they had one of the CEOs on the Tobacco Wars, Arjun Rao, said to this, you got to remember, folks, it's just a consumer product competing against Philip Morris and, you know, Brown and Williamson and British American Tobacco and we're not doing our job if we're not doing an effective marketing campaign. Because at the end of the year, you're going to have people coming up to us and saying, shareholders has Campbell's market share increased. And that's what shareholders are going to go, okay, Eli Lilly, what have you done to increase the market share? What new treatments have you come up with? A cure is going to eliminate one medicine, one whole, okay, well, if we cure diabetes, here's a whole multi-billion dollar segment of the market that we're not going to have anymore. You're not going to need insulin syringes and all that. Okay, let's say you can cure acid reflux. Well, there goes all of the Tums and Tagamet and all the Rolaids and all that stuff. You're not going to need that. You're not going to need that if they can cure it. Not that they can, but I'm just saying if they could. You know, and that's sometimes I wonder. I mean, from what I know about my issue, it's not a simple cure. It's very complex. I'm not saying that they can cure everything for everything. I'm just saying, you know, because with mine, I don't think there is a cure. But, I mean, I just get frustrated when here I can go get me a pack of Marlboro Blacks, but I can't use medical cannabis that has never killed anybody. I got about 3 minutes left in my show, my opposite of cannabis show. I just encourage people, look up Leap, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and you'll see a whole other side of, because these are ex-DEA agents, ex-FBI agents that have been on the front lines who say it don't work, you know. Back in the 70s, I would go to a college party, and hopefully someone would give me a joint, and if not, I'd ask if anyone wants to smoke, and as soon as they handed me a joint, they're 7 years in jail, and I don't feel good about that. Because what did they do? Nothing but pass a joint. And they're on a crusade, and it's just like some of these people like Ted Cruz. They're being criticized. They've only been in politics 2 years. Well, just because they've only been in politics 2 years or 4 years or whatever it is, what makes them not have a clue about what's going on? I mean, these elite law enforcement people are ridiculed. They don't know what they're talking about. Oh yeah, they were on the front lines. I guess when you have an issue like mine, whether it be cancer or AIDS or a myopathy, and you'll try anything, and you'll look into anything. That's when I got started. Because I've always just kind of like, why is this ever illegal? And I sat there and I'm like, okay, well, and I started researching it. And when I looked online, once I found this thing by Urban Rosenfeld, and I read it and I looked into it, and it's just one of those things that I just, when you have a, I guess you look at the healthcare law differently when you have an issue. Okay, well, am I going to still see the same doctors? Am I still going to go to get the same treatment? Or are they going to say, well, we believe you only need this test done every 5 years, not every year like you have now. Well, if they only recommend it every 5 years, you're only going to get the test every 5 years. If they say, okay, well, if you should have a, if your doctor says you should have a mammogram when you're 30, you can't get it if the government says, oh, it's only needed every 10 years starting at age 50. You can get it, but you have to pay for it. You know, and it's just, I want to encourage people, do research, look up, you know. If you're passionate about something, go for it, you know. I just, like I always say, I can sit in the corner of the room and cry, or I can take what the Lord gives me and run with it. And that's what I do. I take what the Lord gives me and I run with it every day. And I just want to thank any of my listeners out there who are listening live or who are listening on the replay. Thank you so much, all. God bless, and you have a great day.